for that, the music, just setting our hearts at the point of worship, just worshiping our Lord. Well, it's neat to hear some of the traditions that some of you have for Christmas and the cinnamon rolls you're talking about, all kinds of traditions that we have at this time of year, and just thinking about the birth of our Lord. And this morning I wanted to do something a little bit different. We've had here at the church, and I'm sure for all of you, the same. It's been a kind of a difficult week here at Grace, especially for those in the choir and getting ready for the Christmas concerts. You know, as many of you heard the news that came out this week about Jubilant Sykes. And, you know, for me, I didn't know Jubilant. I wasn't like a close friend with him, but I have memories because the years that I've been here at Grace, I used to oversee the bookstore many years ago. And I would go out on the patio and do book signings with different authors, Pastor John and others, and also the musicians, Christopher Parkening and Jubilant Sykes. And it was during those times that I got to know them a little bit. And Jubilant was just a really sweet man that just had a heart for Christ and sang like crazy, as you know, just when you've heard him sing. And so I was thinking about the loss of him. You know, he was a member in the past, and he attends a different church, but it was always close here with us. And I just got to thinking over this year, there's been a lot of loss. You know, first with Pastor John going to be with the Lord. We had Burton Michelson, one of the founding members of our church, that went to be with the Lord. Wayne Mack, one of our missionaries in Africa, had served faithfully there with his wife, Carol, for many years, faithful in biblical counseling ministry that he had and serving there in South Africa. Dick Martin, another longtime member, I believe even one of the founding members or close to a founding member. Francine Davis, another lady that was here in this church that had served the Lord in Grace Academy, and we think of her and her service. Even as recent as Bob Houghton, Diana Hall's father, and Rich, they're here with us today. He served here for many years as an elder and lost him, but he's in heaven with the Lord. Vodi Bakum, we were going on a pastoral retreat to get together and kind of plan and strategize when we heard that news a few months ago, kind of hit us again, like a ton of bricks, as you would say. And all of these, you know, it's sad in one respect from a human standpoint, but they're with the Lord. And I know many of you in here, there's several of you who have lost loved ones in the recent days. And this is something that, I mean, it's happening all the time, that people are dying because of the curse of sin. But there can be different reactions that we have to grief. You know, it catches us off guard. And along with all of this that's going on, we have change that's going on in our church. And I know, and you can trust, that the elders know, you know, how you're feeling. We're hearing from you, but we're hearing that you're praying for us. And we're so grateful for that. And we're so grateful for the leadership in this church with Bible study leaders that we have in our own fellowship group that serve faithfully, and many of you that serve and volunteer in our church. We're just so thankful for the body of Christ. But these types of trials, when you go through tough times, there's questions that come up that are hard to answer. And you begin to ask the Lord, Lord, how can you let this happen? Especially like when you think of what happened to Jubilant. What's the purpose of something like that, where his life could be taken, and by his own son, just the grief of that, that comes with that. Lord, you know, do you care about us? I mean, that's a question sometimes that comes into our minds, into our hearts. If we're all honest about it, we do. We question the Lord. And hearing the songs this morning, it really fit in talking about shepherds and that they were the first to hear of the birth of Christ. Just recently, in the country of Turkey, they found an ancient painting, like a fresco is what they would call it. And it showed a clean-shaven man in kind of Roman garb and has a goat over his shoulder and with the goats around him. And it was an early depiction, probably one of the earliest depictions of the Good Shepherd being Jesus, but in Roman garb. And that was a common illustration and image before the cross. Before the cross became the main identifier of Christians, the Good Shepherd was the one that stood out, and it pointed to protection, salvation, and divine guidance. I think it shows the heart of God, the heart of Christ that we're going to see today. And we're going to look at that in Psalm 23. It helps give us the answers of trials. A lot of times you'll hear Psalm 23. Usually, where do you hear that at? Memorial service, I think I heard somebody say. Yeah, you're going to a memorial service for somebody, and that's a very common psalm that is read. The image of a shepherd was a common one in ancient Near East, and many kings compared themselves to shepherds in their leadership abilities. Speaking of the Messiah, Isaiah also uses this example. In Isaiah 40, verses 10 to 11, it says this, "Behold, Lord, Yahweh will come with strength, with his arm ruling for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. Like a shepherd, he will shepherd his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes." Just speaking of the Messiah. And Psalm 23, let's read this. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Yahweh forever." Just a real intimate picture of the Lord as David's shepherd. And David's writing this from Bethlehem. And more than likely, this psalm is written at a time when he was being attacked by his very own son, Absalom, who was after him to take over the kingship and was threatening his very life. And the anguish that would come with that, not only to have somebody pursuing you, trying to kill you, but then just the grief of it being your own son, your own son. And David looks to the Lord and says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And within those words, there's really a comfort that comes across that David knows really well because he's a shepherd. And a shepherd leads. Shepherd leads. Many years ago, my wife and I, Carol and I, and our kids went to Israel with the missionaries from Grace Church. And it was just an amazing time. I know many of you have been there and seen the different biblical sites. And it is something that is emblazoned in your mind for the rest of your life when you're there. And you can kind of see the Bible, as some people put it, in 3D. That's what they say, because you see it geographically. And as we were there, coming towards the end of our time, we had a particular store in the old city of Jerusalem that we needed to go to find some pictures and some things that we wanted to buy to be able to bring back to the U.S. And if you've ever been in the old city of Jerusalem, it can be quite a confusing place to get around, going up the different aisles there and seeing all the shops, and you're going down this way. You want to make sure you don't go the wrong way. And so we needed someone to guide us. And some of you might remember Kurt Gebhards. He was there with us on the trip, and he's a really tall guy, like over 6 feet tall. And he's like, hey, I'll be your guide. So, and we knew it was a little bit of a distance to get to, and we had to just go through all kinds of corridors. So we go out, my wife and I, and we're following Kurt, and he's going pretty fast. And at times we're like losing sight of him. We're like, can't lose sight of him. You got to, you know, follow him. And we're just going one way and the other. And finally, we were able to make it to the shop and to buy some items that we needed. And then he stuck around with us, so we knew the way back. But all that to say is, if we had lost him, you know, we were at our own trying to fend for ourselves to find the right place. And we could have gotten in trouble going the wrong areas. And just the importance of someone who leads. And that's what a shepherd does. And David starts off Psalm 23, and he says, Yahweh, the Lord, is my shepherd. I shall not want. And it's a very intimate image of God as a caring shepherd, guiding and protecting his sheep. When I was younger and just learning to understand the Bible, I never forget that when it would say in the English, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I just couldn't get over it. Like, well, why wouldn't I want him as my shepherd? Just the way it flowed. And then obviously, you know, had to learn that this is something I couldn't get. Why would I not want the Lord as my shepherd? Well, the point is, David had total confidence in the Lord because Yahweh is his personal shepherd, and that he lacked nothing. And David himself was a shepherd and the son of a shepherd. And this was something he was an expert at in understanding the role. And Yahweh, the Lord, promised to take care of his people. And he revealed himself as full of love, compassion, patience, and forgiveness. And David shows us that the Lord is his personal shepherd. David says, this is my shepherd. It's not that the Lord is a shepherd. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. It's not just on the level of a shepherd just to the nation of Israel as a country, which the Lord was, but it was down to an individual level, to even down to David. There's gratitude in David's words here about the Lord as his shepherd. How do we see his care, the Lord's care, evidenced? Well, I shall not want. And I'm sure David was thinking of his days as a shepherd himself, where he would provide care and protect his sheep. The Lord, in the same way, did that for David. And, you know, many times when shepherds are out with their sheep, and there's a book by Philip Keller. I don't know if any of you have ever read it, and if you haven't, I highly recommend it. A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. And he talks in there about the fact that he is a shepherd himself, and had his own sheep and his own land. And he references in the Psalms where it talks about, why is my spirit cast down before you, Lord? And that word that's used there to be cast down is a word that would be used by a shepherd, because Philip Keller points out in his book that as a shepherd, you had to be constantly aware of what was going on with your sheep. And he would say he'd rise up in the morning and he'd go out and see all of his sheep and he would begin counting them. Oh, there's two missing. What's going on? Immediately, you'd have to go out and search and find them. And many times, he would find his sheep not only lost, but they would be in a predicament where they had laid down and rolled over just a little bit too far. And a sheep, its balance can get off in such a way that once it rolls over on its side and even ultimately on its back, it can't get back up on its feet. They are just totally helpless. And what happens is as they lay on their back, the gases in its stomach begin to increase and blood flow gets shut off to its legs. And ultimately, even in a day, some sheep can die. And depending on the weather and if they're dehydrated or not, they could live several days. But he would go out and find these sheep on their back. And what he would do as a shepherd is he would go over and come next to that sheep and talk to that sheep. You know, it might sound crazy, but a shepherd gets attached to the sheep, loves them. And he'll get that sheep back up on its feet, and he'll stand over it kind of like a horse and begin to massage the sheep's legs and talk to it and say, you know, you shouldn't be doing that, just caring for the sheep. And the blood flow begins to get back into the legs, and sometimes they would take off and kind of hobble and stumble around. He may have to do it a little bit longer. Then all of a sudden, the sheep gets the blood flow going, and it'll hop and just run right back to the flock. And that's the picture of being cast down that David had in his mind and when he uses that word, and just how the Lord cares for us as his sheep. So the Lord's actions affect David individually. And how else does the Lord do this? It says, I shall not want, but in verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And I should say, I got ahead of myself a little bit here. We're going to see the Lord as our shepherd today. We're going to look at two ways we see the Lord's care for us. And the first is, the Lord is my shepherd. That was the first way that we see it. And now we're explaining, how does the Lord take care of us? Well, he provides rest and refreshment. He makes me lie down in green pastures. The Lord leads him to an area to lie down, to rest in green pastures. He leads him beside still waters. Well, what about these green pastures? These are rich and plentiful pastures, and this allows the sheep to stay in one place for a while and not have to wander around to try to find food. Because for sheep, you know, when you're wandering around, there's always danger. You're going to get lost and go off on your own. They just get distracted. So they find these green pastures. And David had in mind the seasonal time in Israel where these rich and fertile pastures grew after the rains. And these green pastures, they just didn't appear out of nowhere. It took a lot of work. A lot of times the shepherds would have to clear rocks, roots that were in the ground, even grading the dirt back then. They did that to develop these green pastures to make the land able to produce foliage for the sheep. And the shepherd not only has these green pastures where he leads the sheep, but in the process of getting them to these pastures, he also has some key tools in his hand as he does this. There's the rod and the staff. And the rod is used to beat back. Many times wolves might come along, all kinds of wild animals that might come along that would threaten the sheep. Because pretty much any other animal than a sheep is going to be threatening to the sheep because they can't do anything except run. You know, just they're together, run! And at times, it's been known that sheep together in a herd, there could be a jackrabbit in the back that just bolts And one sheep gets startled, and then the whole herd just takes off in a mad dash. Kind of like my dogs sometimes. But they get frightened. And so many times the shepherd, when it comes to wild animals that are more of a threat, he'll use his rod. And that's a shorter rod, and it had like a bigger head on the top, going down to be a little bit smaller. And they knew how to use those to hit animals, to even throw at wild animals that would come at them, or even at sheep that were getting off course. If it needed to be done, they would throw those. And they were very talented and accurate and able to do that. They also had a staff, and that was more of one with the crooked top, like we have here when we have the shepherd's conference and we have the little shepherd's staff. And that was used to also keep the sheep in line, but to more of a caring concern as a shepherd, the love and comfort that the shepherd has for the sheep. If a sheep goes and falls in a crevasse, in the crevice of the land, and falls down in there, he sometimes could take his staff and use that crook to pull him up out by his neck. Carefully, obviously, and hope that the sheep doesn't jump back in. It's like, so the shepherd cares for the sheep that way. And the thing is, the shepherd has to be ever vigilant for his sheep. And what does that do for the sheep? It's amazing. And if you've ever seen some of the videos of a shepherd shepherding the sheep, or even having a sheepdog and how he corrals them in together. But there is a sense in which the shepherd, when he is ever vigilant for them, that it brings them comfort. They are comforted. And this conveys God's tender love for Israel. And the fact that he is vigilant means he has to be present to be vigilant. The shepherd. If the shepherd were to walk away from his sheep, yeah, they would be helpless. They could not fend for themselves. And in that book, a shepherd looks at Psalm 23. He talks about the fact that he had a neighbor that didn't care for his sheep, and it was on the other side of the fence. And that shepherd just got all of his sheep, put them inside of the fencing, and just kind of left them to themselves. And it didn't turn out well. The land was ravaged. And he said many times that his sheep would stand at the fence and look over at his pasture land and all the greenery, longing to get to his side to eat, but they never could. And it was just a very sad picture. And so the shepherd has got to be present to be with the sheep, to give them comfort. And that's what the Lord does. He's with us. He is our shepherd. And with the Lord, there's no seasons of the year where the Lord is there and he's not. He's there all the time. It's a constant. And when you're the Lord's sheep. And the shepherd is the one who makes the sheep lie down and rest. And when you shepherd sheep, you have to get the sheep to the point of not being nervous so that they will lie down. It's hard to get them to lie down on their own. And if they've got a lot of maybe bugs and things in their wool, they're going to get nervous. And if things aren't just right, you've got to be able to get them to calm down. But the point is, the shepherd is the one that makes them lie down. And we see that picture of the Lord. It says, he makes me lie down in the green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. It's not the sheep doing it themselves. It's the shepherd that leads in that way. Well, it says he leads me beside quiet waters. There were wells and springs in Israel where the sheep could find these quiet waters and take their time without being rushed. Isaiah 32:18 says, then my people will live in a peaceful abode and in secure dwellings and in undisturbed resting places. Just giving the picture of a place to go where there's peace. And that's the case here with beside still waters. And the reason it needs to be still waters, And guess again, sheep get startled. They're afraid of rushing water. They don't want to get near rushing water. So the shepherd finds still waters. He might have to dam it up with a few rocks, move them around, and get the water to be still in one area. But the point is, like as believers, as we trust in the Lord, we have true peace, and we can abide in Christ and drink of His grace. The shepherd takes care of his own in a way that is plentiful, plentiful. It says, He restores my soul in verse 3. He restores my soul. God provides physical rest, peace, and inner renewal. And David says, when he says this, he restores my soul, because his sheep are renewed in the presence of God, their shepherd. And life is worth living in his presence, and that is how he restores my soul. We have his presence there. Philip Keller talks about in his book as well how one morning he woke up and he found about 7 of his little lambs that were pregnant all killed by a wolf, killing the 7 sheep and obviously the baby sheep that were in there. And he decided, you know, I haven't been vigilant enough. And so he, in this case, he has a shotgun as well, and he's able to stand guard the whole night and to go out with the sheep in the night skies and be out there with them during the stars and to warn against the wolves by just having his presence there. And it gave comfort to the sheep. He said you can actually see it and even feel the comfort with the herd. And the same way, God takes care of us. In Psalm 19:7, it talks about the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. That is, when we hear God's words from his law. Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful envoy to those who send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. That's Proverbs 25:13. And the point of that one is, when you have an important message to send to somebody, you have to pick somebody who's trustworthy. And when you pick somebody who's trustworthy, it refreshes their soul because they can trust in him, that he's going to follow through with the mission that you've given him. It's that type of trust and peace that you can have. And this shepherd that restores my soul, that helps David restore his soul, is it brings repentance as well. Trusting in the Lord. You obviously are trusting in the Lord because you love the Lord and you've repented of sin and you're looking to the Lord. And the physical healing that even takes place, how a shepherd helps his sheep, is a great image of how God heals the heart for what it truly needs. How else does God care? How does he care as my shepherd? Well, he guides. And it says, he leads me and he guides me in the paths of righteousness. So not only does he restore my soul, he guides me in the paths of righteousness. God directs my life in the right way, motivated by his own glory and reputation. These are not paths to obtain righteousness. We're not talking about getting righteousness. No. What David is saying is that the Lord will guide in the right way. The right way, or in other words, the most direct, straight way that brings the sheep to their destination, the quickest, as opposed to the crooked paths of Psalm 125:5 says, but as for those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead them away with the workers of iniquity. The shepherd protects them from the crooked way and leads them in the right way. And so think about it as a shepherd. As you shepherd people, shepherd your own family, shepherd your Bible study, with friends, The shepherd is always anticipating the road ahead for his sheep. He knows the way, even, as it says, through the valley of the shadow of death. Through the valley of the shadow of death. Many times, a straight path, the best way to get somewhere, will go through valleys and wadis. Those are like areas in Israel where the water has cut through, and they call those wadis, where there is a dark shadow. Sometimes the best way is through those valleys. And even through the darkness, the shepherd leads and protects. That's a comfort to the sheep, that even in the midst of the darkness, he's there. He's there with them. Yahweh is ever present with his people. That's the very meaning of his name. It's one of being with his people, just like in the Exodus. I will be with you is what the Lord had told Moses and Israel. His protection for them is found for the shepherd and for the sheep is with his rod and staff that we mentioned earlier. That gives comfort to the sheep. The fourth part of how the Lord cares that he is our shepherd is protection in danger and death. And what we read earlier about, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Even in the darkest, most life-threatening situations, God's presence and his tools of protection bring comfort. There were times that a shepherd, as we said, led them through these dark ravines. And he would lead them through these dark ravines, valleys, from one grazing place to another. They go through these narrow valleys, and there is danger from wild animals, even in these valleys, and the dangerous cliffs where, as we said, sheep aren't real stable on their feet and can slip and fall, and that means immediate death for sheep. And the sun was obstructed in these dark valleys, and hence we get that picture that's given to us here, the valley of the shadow of death. In other words, the potential of death and being separated. And that's why he speaks of it here. Well, he says, I don't have to fear evil, for you are with me. And the sheep were comforted by his presence. So we can trust in the Lord. So he gives us protection in danger and at the threat of death. Well, secondly, not only is the Lord my shepherd, the Lord is a gracious host, a gracious host. The imagery changes here and shifts from this shepherding, the outdoor shepherding, to an indoor banquet scene, portraying God as a generous Middle Eastern host who honors and protects his guest, even in the presence of his enemies. And that's a common tradition in the Middle East. Above all things, you protect your guests, even if you don't agree with them. If they're a guest, you protect them at all expense. And even in the presence of the enemies that are surrounding them, even if the enemy surrounding them, if the host might be a part of those people that are after them, they still protect them because they're an honored guest. And that's what he says here. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In the presence of my enemies. God does all of this right in front of those who are out to get him. And we know from David's history, not only in relation to being chased by his own son, Absalom, but being chased by King Saul as well. He had a lot of enemies that were after him at different times and sometimes for good reasons. And yet, the Lord still protected him in those threatening situations. God was there to provide for his needs as a host would care for a guest. He says, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." God publicly honors, protects, and lavishes blessing on his own, even while his enemies look on. David's shepherd prepares a table for him. In ancient Israel, before entering a banquet hall, The host would anoint the honored guest with oil by adding perfumes to the olive oil. And the cup that overflows is another way of saying the overwhelming and beneficial manner in which the host takes care of the guests. It's kind of like if you're carrying a cup completely full and somebody bumps you, you spill it. In David's case, he has so many blessings from God as his host that my cup overflows. Not even spilling it, it's just overflowing as he holds it. This is really another level to the green pastures and the quiet waters. The shepherd gives his best to his child, and his cup overflows. God's rewards, the fragrance of the oil, and the depth of his provision found in the cup show that he is, the Lord is, the shepherd, is the cup of salvation. Psalm 116, 13, I shall lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. David draws comfort in knowing that the Lord's love and presence is constant, just like a shepherd is with his sheep. What else can happen with a shepherd like the Lord? Well, goodness and loving kindness will pursue me all the days of my life. So the shepherd has his rod and staff. They comfort. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Well, what could come next? Surely goodness and loving kindness will pursue me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. There is no promise here that the cup will always be full, or that our heads will always be anointed with oil. But we do have the promise that God's presence will guarantee our benefit in the midst of life because he is our shepherd. He's our personal shepherd. Who is this good shepherd? It's the Lord. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. From David's time, fast forward 1,000 years to the time of Christ. Two disciples encounter Jesus on the road to Emmaus, and we're told that Jesus in Luke 24:27 explained to them all that spoke of him, of Jesus, in Moses and the prophets. That includes Psalms. This was the Old Testament, and it spoke of him. Well, how do the Gospels present Jesus as the shepherd, the good shepherd? Think about some of these verses from the Old Testament to the New. Ezekiel 34:11-16, God will come as shepherd. Jesus declares in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The shepherd will be struck in Zechariah 13:7. Jesus is crucified, the sheep scattered and then regathered. And then he also heals them like a shepherd would his sheep. The shepherd will seek the lost. Ezekiel 34:16. Jesus gives the parable of the lost sheep. And Jesus eats with sinners. He goes to the lost sheep. Ezekiel 37 says, one flock, one shepherd. John 10:16 talks about, other sheep do I have who are of another fold. That's the Gentiles. But he brings them into the flock to be one flock, one under one shepherd. John 10:16. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. It's implied in the Old Testament. Jesus dies voluntarily for the sheep. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. They're so used to only their shepherd's voice. Believers recognize and follow only Jesus. Only Jesus. The shepherd that here with Christmas, just even thinking about the Nativity in Luke 2. The first people to hear of Jesus' birth are literal shepherds. Shepherds in the fields near, of all places, Bethlehem, David's hometown. The true Davidic shepherd king is announced first to shepherds. Just an amazing picture of how the Lord cares for his own through that relationship. In Ezekiel 34:31, "As for you, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, you are men and I am God, declares the Lord Yahweh." Why is it at the birth of Christ, the first to hear of his birth were none other than shepherds? Where were those shepherds standing? Those very hills of Bethlehem, where David stood 1,000 years previously in those same hills, shepherding his sheep. Think of the tender love and care that God has for his own through Jesus, our chief shepherd, during these times. Just really even throughout life, David saw the Lord as his shepherd who cared for him even during the days of glory and the days of tragedy, the days of Absalom. David knew that no matter what changes were taking place in his life or who was taken from him in death, as in his very own son when Absalom died, and his baby son that also died, God was still to be trusted. Trusted as his good shepherd. We too can be confident in our good shepherd today. So during these days, we hold on to the true shepherd. Jesus is the great shepherd of his sheep. The key to shepherding is calling out to the sheep, and they hear, they listen for their shepherd's voice. The sheep will instinctively follow the voice of their shepherd. "For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." That's 1 Peter 2:25. You just see the imagery throughout Scripture of what we are like, sheep, and what we have to do and what we don't have to do when we have God as our shepherd, what he does for us. Sheep don't know where to go to find water and food. Only the shepherd knows where to go. Think about the imagery of the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus has the crowds sit down where? Where do they sit down? On the green pasture, on the green grass. It's a deliberate echo of Psalm 23. "He makes me lie down in green pastures." Most of the year in Israel, food is scarce. Most of the water for sheep is deep in the ground in wells. So the sheep must totally depend on their shepherd to give them water. Sheep are helpless against their enemies. The wolf is their main adversary. How are helpless sheep protected against wolves? Because of the scent, even the scent of the shepherd. I saw a video of a shepherd out, and he had walked through a particular area with his flock over to the side, and he kind of hid in the woods. And along comes a wolf and walking in the same path where the shepherd had been, and he smells the scent of the shepherd. And the wolf stops and looks around. He's looking for the shepherd. If he doesn't see the shepherd, he goes for the sheep. If he spots the shepherd, he goes the other direction. And that's how it is with the Lord as our shepherd. He protects us against our spiritual adversary, Satan. Being in the presence of Jesus protects against our spiritual enemies. In other words, when we know Christ, we're saved. We know his word. We have that protection. We can trust in him. One of the curious things about sheep as well is when the shepherd would bring them together to rest at night, sheep pens would be used. And these were rock walls that would surround the sheep and would have a very narrow entrance for them to go in and to come out. And it's at that narrow entrance to the pen that the shepherd goes and sits and sleeps at night. And the point is, no sheep can go out, and no adversaries, no wolves or anybody else can come in, because that shepherd sitting right there. And that's the picture we have of our Lord and what he does for us. He keeps us as his own, and he keeps out the enemy. He protects us. Sheep have life with their shepherd. So the human soul has life with God. A soul separated from God is like sheep without a shepherd. The relationship between a shepherd to his sheep is one of tender care, love, and protection. The sheep cannot be forced. It cannot be forced onto the sheep, that is, to make them do something against their will. They have to come to him at the drawing of the Lord. Jesus himself pleading with sheep to respond to him, if you are one of his sheep, says this in some of these verses from the New Testament. Hebrews 3:15, while it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me, through that little narrow entrance. Matthew 4:19, and he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Matthew 11:28, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. John 7:37, now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. That's what a shepherd does for his sheep. Gets the water from the deep well, brings it up to the trough so that they can actually drink the water. And in John 6:35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. What about the distress of those sheep in need of a shepherd from the scriptures? Isaiah 53:6, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Also in Psalm 49, this is the way of those who are foolish and of those after them who are pleased with their words. As sheep, they are appointed for Sheol. Death will shepherd them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their form shall be for Sheol to consume, far away from his habitation. But God will redeem my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. And then lastly, Matthew 9:36. And seeing the crowds, Jesus, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast, like sheep without a shepherd. So you have that picture of what a shepherd does for sheep. Just thinking about Psalm 23, we realize, number one, the Lord is my shepherd. And because he's my shepherd, we can trust in him for his provision. He leads us to rest and refreshment. He guides us in the paths of righteousness. He protects us from death and danger. He brings us comfort. And secondly, the Lord is our gracious host. We are an honored guest at his table. Our cup overflows. God publicly honors and protects us. He lavishly blesses us while our enemies look on. And we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Each believer, each sheep, is a gift to Christ's church with a special mix of giftedness to glorify Christ. And with the passing of Jubilant Sykes, I appreciated some comments that Mike Riccardi made about Jubilant that kind of expressed these thoughts. And Mike had said this. He said, while I didn't have the privilege of knowing Jubilant well, I was blessed to be able to several times to shake his hand and thank him sincerely for serving us so well at Grace Church. It is truly a lovely thing to see someone whom the Lord has gifted so abundantly use their gifts for their proper end, to honor and glorify him. Jubilant's remarkable, unique gift of a voice, along with a heart to match, was a genuine blessing from heaven. He was a visible and audible display of how full of goodness God is to be able to bestow such immense talents upon sinful creatures. When I first came to Grace Church in my early 20s, I had a difficult time adjusting to the solos in the worship service. In this worship or performance, and if it's corporate worship, why am I sitting passively listening to someone else worship? Jubilant was one of several who answered those questions for me. He did it not by discussing the tenets of a philosophy of worship, but by just using the gift God had given him. It wasn't long before I learned I could never give expression to the love for Christ in my heart the way Jubilant could give expression to it. I just haven't been given the gifts to do it, and that's fine. The Lord gives as he pleases. But Jubilant could give expression to what was in my heart, and in that way I could worship the Lord by means of my brother's gifts. I could thank him that while he didn't give those gifts to me directly, he gave them to all of us by giving people like Jubilant to us. It wasn't a performance. Anyone who watched Jubilant sing knew it came from a sincere heart, full of love for his Savior. He believed the things he sang from his soul. And that's one of God's own, his own sheep, with his talents. We all have talents that we can use for the Lord in so many different ways. Maybe it is singing. Maybe it's serving. It's encouraging one another in the body of Christ. When someone's downcast, we can go to them and get them back up on their feet like our own shepherd. Each of us are being used by God. We can be secure in that secret place with our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. We can be assured in the midst of the storm that he is guiding us to green pastures, making us lie down and rest. The Lord does that. He makes us lie down and rest. Our shepherd knows us best and knows what's best for us. And we will trust in him because he is our good shepherd. Another thing that shepherds will do when sheep are straying away, maybe one in particular too many times, shepherd will actually have to break the sheep's leg and then bandage it, restore it, and it heals. You know what happens to that sheep after that? Stays close to the shepherd. There's a bond there, even through the pain, because the shepherd loves that sheep. And that's why we go through painful times, even as believers, because it draws us closer to him. He knows what's best for us as our good shepherd. And we need to trust in him and as our good shepherd. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful that you are our good shepherd, that you love us, you care for us. Lord, we're thankful for the valleys that you take us through, because we know it's even through those valleys that we can draw closer to you. And even when you give us the joyous times where we're not in the valleys and it seems as if everything is going perfect, we still trust in you because it all comes from you. We're thankful that you sent the chief shepherd into this world, your son, Jesus Christ, to die on behalf of the sheep, the ones who were lost, those of us who were lost. Sheep without a shepherd, but now under your direction. Help us to be more like you, our chief shepherd, to love, to care for one another. Lord, we're thankful that we've been saved, that our sins have been forgiven, and that we can walk in the newness of life that we have in Jesus Christ. We're thankful, Lord, for just this fellowship group of Steadfast, a smaller body of believers from big church, and even our Bible studies, Lord, where we can fellowship with one another on a personal basis. I pray, Lord, that we would get to know each other better in Christ and truly love one another even more, that we would excel still more, that we would be as you, the chief shepherd, to one another, that we would help guide and direct, encourage each other. Thank you for loving us and giving us this time today. We pray this in your name.